she wouldn't get it. She was too naive to see what the man was doing. I wasn't, though. And I was watching. Someone had to look out for her. Maybe I should try out the library more often. Could only help my grades, I replied. Her eyes widened as if the idea made her nervous, but she recovered quickly. I'm sure it would. I need to go. This verbal battle was fun, but I wanted her to smile at me, damn it. She liked this too. She didn't act like it, but there was something there, an energy between us. And it wasn't just the anger she was still clinging to. When the words, "Go out with me tonight," came pouring from my mouth, I was as surprised as she was. Her eyes went wide, and her perfect pink mouth made a small O shape, as if that had been the last thing she expected me to ask. I had wanted it, but the words just coming out like that hadn't been the smoothest way of asking. I was losing my edge. "The game is tonight," she said after blinking away her surprise. No smart-ass comment this time. I'd thrown a curveball at her, and she hadn't been ready. I nodded. "It is. I am expected to stand on the sidelines. It's the last thing I want to do, yet I can't imagine not being there. If you came, if you were in the stands waiting on me, it would make it a hell of a lot easier." And that was the truth.
"Why me? I don't like you. I can't imagine I'd make your night better."
Her words were meant to sound harsh, but it seemed she was losing her edge too. Her voice had quavered nervously. I bit back a grin. "Because you're the only person in this town that doesn't feel sorry for me." As I said it, I realized that was part of it. My attraction to her. She took a deep breath and stared off toward the field, her lips pursed in a distasteful pucker, like she didn't want to respond to this. If it wasn't so damn cute, I'd be insulted. I'd never had a girl this pissed off that I'd asked her out before. When she finally swung her gaze back to me, she sighed. "Okay," she said that one word as if it was the hardest thing she'd ever said. There was no pleasure in her tone or her expression. She didn't like saying yes, but I didn't care, because that one word made tonight and all the other shit in my life seem easier, less painful. My chest felt light, and I was excited. It had been so long since I had been excited about anything.
"Really?"
I asked, grinning like an idiot. I watched as she fought back a smile to keep her annoyed glare in place. She was struggling, and I only grinned harder.
"I don't have to be here for warm-ups. I'll pick you up at 6:30. We can grab a burger before the game. Then after, we can go wherever you want. The field, to get more food, a movie."
"Fine," she said.
No excitement there, but I had enough for the both of us. She wanted to hate me still, but she didn't. I could break through that wall, or I'd go down trying at least.
"Tallulah!"
a male voice called out, and my skin crawled. She jerked her head toward Coach D as he walked toward us. He was acting like the teacher he was supposed to be, but I could see from the way he was glaring in my direction that his head was elsewhere.
"Yes, Mr. Dace?"
she asked, her voice suddenly nervous, unsure.
"The office was supposed to call you up earlier to tell you that your application for teacher's aid was accepted. They've assigned you to me during your last period, and you receive extra credit if you arrive an hour early in the morning."
I stood there wanting to put my fist between that horny bastard's eyes. I was unable to if I wanted to stay in school. And what was the office thinking? She was a beautiful teenage girl, and he was a young male teacher. They should have put her with a woman teacher.
"Oh, okay. Did you need me today? I didn't know."
He acted as if I wasn't even standing there. Didn't acknowledge my existence.
"I've got to get ready for the game. Just be there at 7 on Monday morning. I'll go over all I need you to do this semester. Enjoy your weekend."
He then glanced at me.
I'll see you on the field tonight.
That was his way of telling me I had to be there. Who the fuck did he think he was? He was never my coach. He didn't tell me what I was going to do. If I was on that field tonight, it would be because I wanted to be, not because he told me to be.
I didn't respond to him. I wanted him to know I saw it.
I knew what he was doing. That this thing with Tallulah wasn't going to be overlooked. If he stepped out of line, I'd make sure it never happened again. She was trusting and innocent. He saw that.
Good luck tonight, Tallulah said, her smile more nervous than when she looked at me.
He grinned. It wasn't the kind a teacher gives a student.
Thanks. You better be there.
She turned her head to look at me, and her smile wavered.
I will be.
I wanted her to say we had a date, something, just to piss him off and remind him she was 17 years old. She held my gaze. There was something unsaid in that moment. She didn't want his attention. After a moment of awkward silence, Coach D walked off, and she didn't watch him go. Score one for me.
Chapter 15. This was not Disney World. Tallulah. You know those daydreams you have for years? The ones you know won't come true, but they get you through the day? The kind I shouldn't have been having about Nash? The excitement I shouldn't have felt, but did? Instead of dreading my date with Nash, I was in a state of giddiness. All I could do was smile, feel wistful. The reality was it was hard to turn off years of those dreams, to forget them. Those little fantasies are what kept me going when no one spoke to me in the hallways. When I heard girls giggling about my weight or clothing, they were my escape. However, not one single time while I was in my little bubble of imagination did I truly believe it would come true. I knew it was just that, a dream, and this was not Disney World. Dreams did not come true. It was high school, and it sucked. Living in my head and my wistful thoughts was fine since I had that firm grasp on reality. The past 3 hours, I had changed my clothes 7 times, washed my hair and restyled it 3 times, and had to fight the urge to chew off all my nails. Not bite. Chew those bad boys completely off to the skin. I was a nervous wreck. In my head, it hadn't been this way. I'd been charming and lovely. My clothes had been perfect. I'd been confident and full of self-worth. But here in the real world, I felt like I might throw up. Girls didn't get to experience their daydreams. That only happened in cheesy movies that didn't depict high school properly at all. For example, if a girl is wearing a designer skirt that shows off her bottom when she walks, and her boobs are hanging out of her shirt while she flashes skin on her stomach, then she is not in a real high school. Only in TV land can that happen, just like only in TV land does a girl's crush who is way out of her league ask her out. But here I was, getting ready for a date with Nash Lee. When he had asked me, it had taken all my focus not to grab onto my car for support. My knees went weak, my stomach was so tied up in knots I thought I needed to bend at the waist, and I couldn't remember how to use words. Luckily, Mr. Dace arrived and snapped me out of my shock. Given me a moment to process it all. I owed him one for perfect timing. Asa taking me to a field party, Riker flirting with me, other guys winking and smiling at me in the hallways had all been fine. I had adjusted to no longer being ignored. It still surprised me, but I wasn't swooning over it. I'd been so angry with Nash that I had been riding on that hate and assumed I'd be immune to him. Or I would at least be able to focus my energy toward him differently. But then he apologized. It wasn't enough, that apology, but my dang silly heart felt something. Why was it so hard to still hate him? He'd hurt me. He'd been cruel. The truth was, deep down, I had forgiven him. I just didn't want to. There was damage there he'd caused, even if he made my heart flutter. He didn't have to know. He didn't deserve to know. I didn't care if he limped. I didn't care if you played football. I didn't care if you started sitting in the library to read during lunch and became a recluse. None of those things would change how I felt about him. It was never his popularity that I was attracted to. It was his heart. He had been kind when others hadn't. I'd loved him, silently. His laughter at Riker's words, though, still rang in my memory. "Have you decided on an outfit yet?" Mom asked from my open bedroom door. I turned to see her with a glass of red wine in her hands and a smile on her face. She was entirely too excited about this. She knew my feelings for Nash. They had been hard to hide from my one friend in life. She was my mother. She corrected me, expected the best out of me, and didn't let me get away with talking back or being disrespectful. She was also my best friend. "I think," I replied, holding out my hands and turning in a circle. After trying on everything new in my closet, I had come back to the very first thing I had pulled out. A blue jean skirt that hit mid-thigh, and a t-shirt that had been bought with the worn look, and a cut-out triangle on the chest, giving it a V-shape, yet keeping the neckline there. The faded blue made my eyes pop, and the word "dreamer" on the front was perfect, especially for tonight. I pointed at my boots. "It's between either those or the wedges. I thought the boots may be easier if we end up with the field party." Mom looked like a giddy teenager with her grin. "Boots, definitely. They go perfect with that look. Very edgy, sexy, casual. I like it. I may steal it." I shook my head. "No, you are not wearing this." She put a hand on her narrow hip and cocked an eyebrow at me. "Are you insinuating I am too old to wear that?" "No, but you'll look better in it." "I don't need my mom outdoing me," I replied honestly. She didn't like that. Her smile turned into a frown. "You are kidding me, right? Tallulah, honey, you're stunning. Young and beautiful inside and out. You always have been. No matter what size you are a beauty who also happens to be the best part of me. You're my one great achievement in life. You are what I am proud of most in this world. Don't you ever believe that you are less than. You hold your head high." I held up my hand to stop her or she'd keep going and I would never be ready in time. "Mom, okay, I know you love me. I shouldn't have said that. You can wear any of my clothes. Everyone always mistakes us for sisters anyway. I have good genes. I should be thankful. I am thankful." She started to smile again. "You're nervous. Don't be. Nash Lee is the lucky one. You go out with him tonight and know he is who should be nervous. He has you on his arm." I rolled my eyes. My mother was a bigger dreamer than me. Says my mother and biggest fan. "It's Nash. He's not nervous. He has never been the fat kid who tried to blend in with the walls." "Tallulah," she started again, and I hurried in to stop her. "Mom, I'm kidding. Just let me get ready. I'm going to be nervous. Nash has been my crush since I started school here. It's unavoidable. I am going to be nervous." She sighed, then shrugged. "Okay, fine. Get ready. But look at yourself in that mirror good." She started to turn to leave, then flashed me one last smile. "I love you." "I love you too." Finally, I was alone again. I took in my body in the mirror, the way I fit into clothing now. I still felt the same inside. Seeing my outward appearance didn't change more than my clothing size. Confidence didn't come from the way you could or could not wear a short skirt. It came from inside. "You're a good person. You're smart. The way you look isn't who you are," I whispered to the girl in the mirror. She was still so new to me. I didn't recognize myself when I saw my reflection. It always took me a second to remember that was me now. Although my reflection couldn't respond, I nodded for her, then smiled because I was being extremely dramatic. I had 30 minutes left to get on my boots and decide if my hair was going up or down.
Chapter 16. Was I that damn shallow? Nash. The two-story white house had been on my road all my life. Every Halloween it was decorated the best. When I was a kid, it was my favorite house to trick-or-treat at. Each Christmas, the lights from this house outdid everyone else on the street. I passed the house during those holidays and always glanced its way to see what new things had been added. The one thing I never thought about was that this was Tallulah's house. I liked the decorations, but the people who lived here hadn't been something I gave much thought to. I parked my just-washed Escalade in the driveway and got out. I was self-conscious of my limp. My mind immediately went to Tallulah watching me from one of the windows on the second floor and seeing the way I walked. I hated this feeling, knowing that I was different. Being nervous about a date wasn't something I was familiar with. That had changed, too. I couldn't walk as fast. People noticed my limp and watched me. I sure as hell didn't have a swagger anymore. I glanced back at my car and thought about leaving, forgetting this. I was more than likely a pity date. Of all the girls at Lawton High, she would be the one to go out with the guy because she felt sorry for him. She knew what it was like to be unwanted. But I had never stood a girl up, and I wasn't about to start now. Walking to her door, I silently prayed she wasn't watching me walk. Didn't have to be reminded what she was going out with tonight. I shouldn't have asked her, but I did. I had wanted to, and she'd said yes so easily. The front door wasn't covered in decorations. It was the end of August, and the holidays that Tallulah's mother seemed to love hadn't begun yet. I rang the doorbell and waited, but only for a moment. The door swung open, and the attractive, petite woman who I remembered giving me candy as a child stood there smiling. Tallulah had never come to school events. Her mother wasn't one who was in the PTA or any other parent organization. I never realized this was her house. "Nash," she said brightly, "it's nice to see you. Come on in, Tallulah is almost ready." She knew me, which made it even more embarrassing that I didn't know if her last name was the same as Tallulah's. I didn't know her first name either. I had no name to refer to her by. I slapped on a smile. "No hurry, I'm maybe a few minutes early." I wasn't, but it sounded good to say it. Her mother stepped back and waved me inside. The entry was small and led right into a large living area. Everything was bright and cheery, very different. Interesting artwork and a ceiling painted the blue of the sky were the first things to catch my attention. There were even a few clouds up there. "I like the sky, and I like to paint. It's my thing," her mother explained. I glanced over at her, and she was also looking up at the ceiling, smiling with a fondness. "Took me a month to paint that thing. I'm scared of heights, you see, so this was a challenge. But I did a little every day. Now I can relax and enjoy it any time I want." Was Tallulah this much of a dreamer? She didn't appear to be. I would guess it was hard to ever be negative in this kind of home. Her mother didn't seem to be the kind who was ever negative. "It's cool," I agreed, because it was. "Let me show you the kitchen," she said with obvious pride in her voice. I followed as she led me to the next room. It was blue. Everything was a different shade of blue. "Look up." I did as told, and it took me a moment, but I figured it out. We were under the sea. I glanced back down after looking up at the world from under the water to notice a few pieces of sea life here and there. This would be one hard house to sell because, as creative as all this was, it would take someone like Tallulah's mom to appreciate it. My mother, for example. This would not be her thing. "I'm ready. I'll rescue you before she takes you to the staircase to show you the ceiling there." I turned to Tallulah, and the wildly painted house was forgotten. Tallulah was stunning. Breathtaking. No wonder the 27-year-old teacher was attracted to her. She didn't look 17. Dressed like this, she looked older. When everyone saw her tonight, she'd have plenty of guys to choose from. This was possibly the only date I'd get. The sympathy date would be done. The bathroom looks like the night sky, her bedroom looks like a stormy sky, and the stairs look like you're under the stairs in the cupboard with Harry Potter. Tallulah smirked. I went through a Harry Potter stage when I was younger, and she did it for my birthday surprise. Then she turned to her mother. Thanks for keeping him entertained. Love you, she said, then hugged her mom, who kissed her on the cheek. Love you. Have fun, she said to me as well as Tallulah. Drive careful, wear your seat belts. My mother always said the same thing when I left the house. Always, Tallulah replied. Then she turned back to me, and her smile faded. She wasn't full of confidence. She wasn't trying to be flirty. There wasn't the "aren't I gorgeous" smirk on her lips. I raised an eyebrow as if to challenge her. Would she really say something rude right here in front of her mother? I loved our verbal combat, but I doubted she'd start it up in front of her eager mother. Then it happened. She smiled. At me. I'd missed that smile. Really missed it. It was slow and a little shy. That was what made her smile so damn beautiful. It wasn't arrogant. It was unique. Something I had only experienced with Tallulah. I didn't want that to change. I didn't want her to change. Why hadn't I asked her out before? I'd always loved her smile. It made me feel good. Why had I waited until she was thin? Was I that damn shallow? Yes, I was. And I didn't like to admit it or accept it. But I was. You look beautiful, I told her, not caring that her mother was still standing there. Her cheeks turned a pretty pink, and she lowered her lashes, unable to look at me as she said, "Thank you." That was what I'd been missing. Now that I realized it was out there, the guilt from not asking her out before her weight loss was heavy, made me feel superficial, when Tallulah was anything but. She was spending her first Friday night back at high school with me, a cripple, who she wanted to hate. I'd hurt her and caused pain that she was trying like hell to hold against me. But she was crumbling, right before my eyes. "Let's go get a burger," I said, when it was obvious she was embarrassed by my compliment and unsure how to handle it. She hadn't received many of those in her life. The way she accepted it was so damn sweet. "Okay," she agreed, peeking back up at me. "Bye, y'all," her mother called out. "It was nice to officially meet you," I told her mother. She beamed brightly, and Tallulah turned, and we walked out of the house. When the door closed behind us, she looked at me and said, "I promise she's not crazy." I laughed, because I hadn't been thinking that at all. But the serious expression on Tallulah's face was adorable. My chest was light. I was happy. Damn.
Chapter 17. There's a lot you don't know about me. Tallulah.
Are you scared of heights like your mom?
I thought that was an odd question. It was the first thing he asked when we got in his vehicle. I'd been a little distracted, thinking that I was sitting in Nash Lee's famous silver Escalade. Girls had wanted to be in this Escalade since the moment he'd driven it into the parking lot the first time at school. A lot had been whispered to have happened in the back of this Escalade as well. But the question about my fear of heights snapped me back to the moment, away from my thoughts. No, that's my mom's issue, not mine. He flashed me a grin. Good. Then he didn't say any more about it. The next thing he asked was,
Are your parents divorced?
I shook my head. They were never married. I've never met my dad. Don't care to. He frowned.
Sounds like a douche.
I nodded my head in agreement. I can't imagine what my mother ever saw in him, unless he charmed her. She's easily charmed. Lives in a happy place where bad things don't happen. Even when they do, she finds the bright side and carries on. When I was younger, that had annoyed me about my mom. I wanted her to accept reality. I didn't understand why she didn't get upset about bad things, like the time we had to go a month on peanut butter sandwiches and milk because our car had broken down and to fix it cost most of her monthly paycheck. But instead of being upset, she'd cut the sandwiches in funny shapes, made a new story out of the sandwich characters every night. It was just how she was, always optimistic. I understood that as I got older, and now I was thankful for it. She kept me smiling many times when I just wanted to cry.
I always loved trick-or-treating at your house the best. Your mom had the best decorations and homemade treats. Those cupcakes were more exciting than any candy. And one year it was Rice Krispies treats shaped like pumpkins. A kid's jackpot.
I smiled. Mom always loved Halloween and Christmas. She made both those holidays big. Her excitement over them made me equally excited. It wouldn't be but a few more weeks before she'd have me crawl into the attic and hand her down the Halloween decorations. She may have painted the ceilings, but she still wouldn't climb the attic ladder. That was my job. We spent days before Halloween making those. You should see what all she makes for Christmas. My teachers look forward to the large holiday tins full of treats she brings to the school. It was embarrassing when she kept doing it once I got to junior high school, but I got over it. Now I don't make a fuss when I have to haul all those tins to the school and hand them out. Nash chuckled.
Damn, she's like Martha Stewart.
Not even close. Martha cleans her house a lot more often than my mom. Nash was still grinning when he pulled into the burger place in town.
I called in our order.
Wait here, I'll go grab it. I nodded, confused. Why weren't we eating in there? My first thought was he was embarrassed to be seen with me. I almost expected that. But then I figured that couldn't be it. He was taking me to the football game and out afterward. I tried not to let the old Tallulah leak through, the self-conscious one, the girl who tried to hide from everyone so no one would make fun of her. Blakely was walking out with a group of cheerleaders. They were all dressed for the game. I knew they hadn't actually eaten in there, not before they cheered for hours on the field, but several had to go cups of coffee or soda. Blakely was looking back inside, and she sighed dramatically, then said something to the other girls. I couldn't be sure, but it looked like she was talking about Nash, almost as if she felt sorry for him or pitied him. When he walked out, she said something to him, and he paused. His entire body tensed, and I reacted before I could think it through. Opening the door to his Escalade, I stepped out. I was almost to the group before the other girl started to notice me. I'd never tried to actually strut until now. I held my head high, put on a confident face, and slung my hair back over my left shoulder. I'd seen this done hundreds of times by the very group of girls I was about to approach. Drawing attention to myself like this made me want to puke, but I didn't let that show. I acted as if I owned the world, and it was amusing. "You found friends," I said to Nash as I slipped an arm around his free one and stood there beside him. "Aren't y'all gonna be late?" I asked as sweetly as I could, keeping my eyes on Blakely. She looked confused and surprised. "Are you with her?" Blakely finally asked, her face turning from the pity she had to a pinched, angry look.
"Tallulah, this is Blakely. I'm sure you've never met her. She's very self-absorbed, doesn't make friends easily,"
Nash said with ease, not missing a beat. I felt like giving him a high five. "I know who she is," Blakely snapped. "Everybody knows about the fat girl who lost weight, freak." She said the words in hopes of hurting me. But I had spent years watching people quietly from the corner. I could read expressions better than most. She was jealous. She had left Nash, but hadn't expected him to move on so easily or quickly. It was hurting her ego. "I was unaware that weight loss was freakish. You've enlightened me," I replied with a smile. She started to say something else to me, but snapped her mouth shut, then swung her gaze back to Nash. "We broke up, what, 3 days ago? And you're already out with someone?" She sounded outraged. Was this girl for real? I had seen her with Hunter since Monday. "Oh, y'all just broke up on Tuesday?" Was Hunter aware of that? Because the groping session that was going on in the hallway during second period Monday between the two of you made it seem you were perfectly available. Her eyes widened, then went to slits as she glared at me. Stay out of this, bitch! No one asked for your fucking opinion! Nash moved then. He stood between us in a protective move.
Don't speak to her like that. In fact, Blakely, if you could not speak to me at all, that would be best.
He turned and took my hand.
Let's go. She's a waste of our time.
I couldn't help but glance back over my shoulder as we walked to his Escalade and flash her a smile. Bitch! She yelled at me.
Are you taunting her?
Nash asked me with a trace of humor in his tone. Probably, I admitted.
You're a little spitfire, Miss Liddell. I never knew.
I shrugged as he opened the passenger door for me. There's a lot you don't know about me. He was still watching me after I climbed in and sat down.
I'd like to change that.
The smile that spread across my face was so big it almost hurt. Almost.
Chapter 18. My life and criminal record are in your hands. Nash. The water tower was a place I hadn't gone in years. You could see the football field from here. I used to watch the older guys play from this spot and dream of the day I could play. Since I had been on that field, I hadn't been back here. Nash, Tallulah said hesitantly as she stared at the water tower in front of us. I opened my door to climb out with the dinner I'd gotten us in my hand. Grab the waters, I'll stick them in my pockets, I said, then got out. She didn't follow immediately. I grinned as I waited for her to join me. When she finally got out of the Escalade, she had the bottles in her hand, and a frown wrinkled the space between her eyebrows. Are we going up that? She asked, looking up at the water tower. I thought you said you weren't scared of heights, I reminded her, enjoying this, seeing her battle with herself overdoing this. Heights I'm not scared of. However, the police I would rather not piss off. That made me chuckle. The cops won't come after us. She didn't look convinced. Climbing the water tower is illegal. Technically, yes. But all the cops in town are already at the football field, probably all having a burger, fries, and some nachos compliments of the booster club. None of them are worried about teens climbing water towers. With a sigh, she nodded.
Okay, let's do this.
That was easy. You go first. I'll come up behind you in case you slip. She shot me an annoyed glare.
Not a comforting thought.
What? I might have a limp, but I haven't lost the strength in these bad boys, I said, flexing my arms. She laughed, and the tension in her eyes faded.
My life and criminal record are in your hands.
Noted. She walked toward the tower, still hesitant in her steps, but she was doing it. As a kid, I never considered the cops or danger of this. It was just my quiet place to dream. A dream that was now gone. I gave my head a hard shake. I wasn't going to think about that, not now. I would later, while on the field, as I watched my teammates play the first game of our senior year. My former teammates. Tallulah came to the bottom of the ladder and she tilted her head back to look up. The way her wavy blonde hair blew gently in the breeze. Her waist small, but her hips flared just enough. She wasn't too thin. I liked that. She had curves. She also knew how to dress her curves. Tonight wasn't going to be easy for me, but being with her made it better. Easier. She didn't know that. Maybe I'd tell her. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'd just enjoy this. Be thankful she was here. That she forgave me. Should I take off these boots? Seems like it would be hard to climb this with boots. I hadn't thought of that, but she had a point. Barefoot would be better. Yeah, go barefoot, it'll be easier. She bent down and slipped a foot out of each boot, then stood back up and gave me a small grin before turning back to the ladder. Our burgers were going to get cold by the time we got up there with all these delays. Not that I cared. I was enjoying myself.
"Okay, here I go,"
she announced without looking back. "I'm right behind you," I assured her.
"You better be. If I get arrested, you are going with me."
"Would make for a great story at school on Monday." She laughed loudly. That sound, it always made me smile. Climbing up the tower, I tried to stay focused on making sure she was steady. Be alert. But she was wearing a skirt. It was hard not to look up. I was fighting it.
"Are you looking up my skirt?"
she called down to me as if she could read my thoughts.
"No. I thought about it, considered it, but I'm being a gentleman. It's a rare thing. Make a note of it."
"I'll be sure to put it in my diary," she shot back.
It was the longest amount of time I had ever taken to climb the tower. But we made it, finally. Tallulah went to the railing and stared out at the town beneath us. It was a view most people never saw of Lawton.
"You can see the field so good from here," she said when her gaze landed on our school.
"Yeah," I agreed, not saying anything more.
I had come up here to face this without my friends watching me first, to deal with the fact I'm not on that field tonight warming up. But knowing Tallulah was here to observe me suddenly made me nervous. I didn't want to appear weak to her.
"This isn't going to be easy, is it?"
she asked, not beating around the bush.
"Nope,"
I replied. I gave in and looked out at the field all my childhood dreams had revolved around. My friends and former teammates were out there. Fans were already filling the stadium. The band was practicing. The drums could be heard all the way up here. Tallulah moved and sat down, her feet dangling over the edge.
"If my mama knew I was up here, she'd have a fit, possibly never recover. Cardiac arrest, even."
I took the waters from my pockets and handed her one, then sat down beside her.
"Probably shouldn't tell her.
If the cops take me in for breaking the law, she's gonna know. Then I'll be grounded until I'm 30.
"That would suck, but sounds a little dramatic."
She held out her hand.
"You don't know my mama. Give me a burger, I'm starving."
I pulled out the burgers and left the fries in the bag to sit between us.
"Might be cold since it took so long to get you up here."
She smirked.
"This is the first time I've been asked to do something illegal."
That made me forget about the football field and my not being on it. The drums in the background faded, and I threw my head back and laughed. The weight on my chest eased. I didn't care about what I was missing. I had this, and this was turning out to be better.
"What's so funny?"
she asked, then took a big bite of her burger.
"You. We aren't smuggling cocaine or breaking and entering. This is not that big of a deal. If we were caught, they'd give us a slap on the wrist and a lecture on safety."
She swallowed her food, then shrugged.
"Probably, but it's more exciting to think we're rebels breaking the law."
"Is it now?"
I replied. She nodded and took another bite. Tallulah wasn't like any other girl I had dated. She wasn't flirting or trying to control me with the promise of sex. She was real. Fun. And damned if I didn't regret all the years I had missed out not getting to know her.
Chapter 19. Didn't figure you wanted my opinion on your love life. Tallulah. I wasn't scared of heights. Not normal heights, so I hadn't been lying to Nash when he had asked. I thought of heights like climbing into the attic or the treehouse I always wanted as a kid, but my mother was too scared to build for me. I didn't think Nash had been asking if I was scared of climbing a 60-foot water tower. When he had driven up here and I realized I was meant to climb this thing, I'd considered backing out, telling him no way. But the look of excitement in his eyes as he waited on my response kept me from doing that. I figured it was a slim chance I'd fall to my death. I'd more likely die in a car accident than fall off this water tower. Now that we were up here looking out at the town we both called home, I was glad I hadn't let fear stop me. I hadn't really been concerned we would get arrested. I knew the cops were all waiting on the game to start, doing their due diligence to make it safe as the opposing team arrived and the roads began to fill up leading into the parking lot. The police had simply been my excuse. "Are you still planning on standing on the sidelines tonight?" I asked him after we finished our dinner. He nodded.
"Yeah, I am."
His gaze was out on that field as his friends warmed up and the band played in the stands. Although we couldn't hear them, we both knew they were pumped up and calling out whatever football players yell at one another before a game to prepare themselves mentally. The grass would be freshly cut, and the smell of grilled meat would fill the air as the concession stand got ready to feed the fans. My heart ached for him. I'd never loved anything like that, never had something be that important to me. It had to be a void in his life. "What happened to your leg?" I asked before I could think that through and stop myself. He sighed and turned his gaze to me.
"A stupid backyard game of football. We do it every year on Memorial Day. Most folks just play flag or touch when not wearing pads, but we like to tackle. Makes it more fun."
He looked pained as he said it.
"Never thought once that it could change everything. I thought I was invincible. The harder the hit I took or gave, the better. I was tough. I was an idiot."
He closed his eyes briefly and shook his head. The memory was hard on him. I wished I hadn't asked. If I could have taken back my question, I would have. Go back to the witty banter and laughter from earlier. That's what he needed right now, not being reminded of all he'd lost.
"I couldn't move my leg. I'd never felt that kind of pain before. The world began to fade in and out from the severity of it, but I wouldn't let myself pass out, not from pain. I had to stay awake. I needed to know what was wrong. I thought I'd broken something. I thought, damn, I hope it's better before practice starts up. But what I never considered was I'd have a torn ACL, torn MCL, and a pinned ankle. A fucking limp for the rest of my life."
I didn't know much about sports injuries, but I'd heard ACL tears were bad. Really bad, but he had more than that, way more. "I'm so sorry." It seemed inadequate as I said it, but it came out of my mouth anyway. Because I was sorry. I wished he could go back and not play the game. I knew he wished it more than anyone.
"Me too. I figure I'll always be sorry," he replied.
There was a heaviness over us now. The easy, happy feeling from before completely gone. That was my fault. He needed to forget, not recap, especially before this game. I thought hard on anything else I could say to lighten the mood, change the subject without seeming as if I didn't care. "I shouldn't have asked. This wasn't what you needed to be thinking about." The corner of his mouth lifted and he turned his gaze back to me.
"Blakely never asked. All she knew was I was hurt. I had to go to therapy and I wouldn't be playing football anymore. She didn't even come to the hospital for my surgeries. She said hospitals made her nervous and smelled funny."
I didn't care for Blakely. I never had. She was self-absorbed. I'd watched her when he had started dating her last year. I couldn't understand why he didn't see that she cared only for herself. He was a nice guy. They didn't fit. "She didn't deserve you," I told him. "I knew that when you started dating her." He shifted his body until he was facing me completely.
"You should have told me, saved me the trouble."
He was teasing now, his tone lighter. His eyes no longer held the shadows of his loss. "Didn't figure you wanted my opinion on your love life." He laughed then.
"Sex life, Tallulah. There was no love there. Unless you count the love Blakely has for herself."
My cheeks burned at the word sex. Which was silly. We were 17. I was quite possibly the only girl in my grade who hadn't had sex. I hadn't even kissed a guy, not even a peck. I needed to watch my HBO, get over my awkwardness with the word sex.
"Why are you blushing?"
he asked with a full grin now on his handsome face. I shrugged. I tried to think of a believable lie and decided against it. The truth was better. Besides, it wasn't like the truth would shock him. He knew what I looked like last year. He also knew I hid in corners and had no social life. I am not used to talking about sex with guys.
So me saying sex life made you blush?
I nodded.
Interesting. What if I say blowjob?
His laughter got louder as my cheeks became an even brighter shade of red. I covered my face with my hands and tried desperately to make myself stop. His laughter stopped.
I'm sorry, he said, still sounding amused.
I had wanted to get his thoughts off his injury. I should be glad I'd achieved it. His hand touched my arm and gently tugged my left hand away from my face.
I shouldn't have laughed. It's cute. Fucking refreshing, he added.
I dropped my other hand and lifted my head back up. Turning to him, I smiled. It's embarrassing. He shook his head.
No, it's not.
His voice had dropped and sounded more serious. I stared at his eyes, trying to figure out why when he began to move closer to me. His head lowering, his body easing my way until there was no space between us. I knew it was coming. Even though it had never happened to me before, I guess it was instinct. He just knew. When his mouth touched mine, I forgot to breathe. It was the most exotic feeling in the world, the softness of his lips brushing over mine, his breath warm against my face, even his heartbeat was fast against my chest. Or was that mine? I wasn't sure. All I knew was this was my first kiss, and I couldn't imagine anything ever being this perfect.
Chapter 20. She'd been right there all along. Nash. The kiss was different. I didn't know how, exactly. It had shaken me, made me question every kiss before, and then regret them. I wished this had been my first. The others hadn't meant something. This had. It was Tallulah's first. Her trembling hands as they rested on my arms and the way she inhaled sharply when my lips had first touched hers. The gentle way she tested it, was unsure yet curious. All that should have made the kiss awkward. Instead, it had made it the best I'd ever had. I didn't want to leave this water tower, stay up here with her in my arms. Being alone and forgetting what waited for me below was tempting. Up here, she was mine. She made me laugh, made me want other things. She made me want to find a new dream. Losing the field wasn't as important to me as it had been. Tallulah's tender, inexperienced kiss held more power than she would ever realize. After I had pulled back from the kiss and looked into her eyes, so honest and sincere, she laid her head on my chest and sighed. A content sound. My arms were still wrapped around her, and my gaze wasn't on that field down there. It was on Tallulah. The way she fit against me. It was as if she was what I had been waiting for. And she'd been right there all along. "It's time for you to get down there," she said softly as she lifted her head to gaze up at me. "Probably," I agreed, not loosening my grip. "I'd rather we stay right here." She smiled then, a shy smile that made my heart squeeze. "I'd like that too, but they're expecting you. I think you'll regret it if you don't do this." She was right. They all wanted me there like I always had been, especially Riker. I could be selfish and say they didn't get it, how hard it was going to be and what they expected of me. but I knew that reaction would let Tallulah down. I would eventually let her down. I just didn't want it to be tonight. This soon.
I guess I better do this then, I said, wishing I could kiss her again, and we could forget it all.
Her hand rested on my heart. You'll be glad you did. I wish I had her optimism in life, to see everything in the light she did. Unfortunately, I didn't. Not anymore. I'd been handed heartbreak. I knew what it felt like. I hoped she never would. The climb back down the tower wasn't nearly as exciting. The darkness was now thick enough that if I had glanced up, I wouldn't have seen up her short skirt. Not really. Maybe some shadows. I kept my focus on getting us down safely. At the bottom, she slipped her boots back on and then gave me a bright, hopeful grin. I'll never forget this first date. Me either. That was the plan. I needed to blow Ace's measly field party date out of the water. Thought long and hard on how to do that. Only part of that was an exaggeration. I didn't actually think his date would be hard to top. That night had sucked for everyone. I slipped my hand over hers, and she threaded her fingers through mine. Our walk to the escalade was quiet. My head was still up on the water tower with her in my arms. If I was lucky, so was hers. Words didn't seem needed at the moment. We were good like this, comfortable in each other's presence. I opened the passenger side door and helped her as she climbed inside. I wanted to lean in and kiss her again, but that first kiss, it seemed too special to mess with just yet. Keeping it singular and on a pedestal for a little longer felt right. Instead, I squeezed her hand and held her gaze longer than necessary before closing the door and going to get in the driver's seat. "Who will you sit with at the game?" I asked her, not having thought about that before. "You could sit with my folks. I could introduce you to my mother." "That's okay. I didn't plan on sitting with anyone. I was just going to find an empty seat. Tonight will be hard on your parents, too, I imagine. They don't need a stranger there beside them whom they feel they have to talk to." My mother would be more than happy to meet Tallulah. She'd talk her damn head off, possibly pull up my baby pictures on her Facebook and start showing her. Might not be the best idea after all. Tallulah was sweet, but my mother could scare her off.
"If you're sure. My mom won't mind, though. She's nosy as fuck. Chatty, too."
Her soft giggle felt good. Made it easier to deal with driving into the parking lot of a football game with the fans. I'd never done this before. I was always on that field before the fans arrived. Even as a kid, I was the water boy and the ball boy. The sidelines were all I knew. "It's packed," she said, looking around. She was also changing the subject. I wouldn't push her to sit with my parents. I didn't like the idea of her sitting alone, but it was clear she was used to it, seemed to prefer it.
"Yeah, first game is always a big one. If we win, it'll get bigger next week."
The word "we" stuck in my throat. It wasn't a "we," it was a "they." She didn't say anything more while I found a parking spot and turned off the engine. Staring straight ahead, I saw people walking with their stadium cushions, shakers, and even some cowbells. Football was life here in Alabama. Always had been. "I'll sit to the far left toward the top. If you need to look away, or just take a moment, find me. I'll be there." I hadn't ever looked up into the crowd while on that field. My head had been on the game only, nothing else. But tonight, knowing I had her to look back at, it helped.
"Thanks. I'll find you before it starts, so I know where I'm looking."
She reached for her door, and I opened mine quickly.
"No, wait," I told her, climbing down and jogging around the front of my SUV to get her door for her. "My mama would beat my ass if I let a woman open a door."
And my mama would say, Tallulah, don't ever depend on a man for anything. You can do it all. If you want one, fine. But don't ever need one.
My chest rumbled with laughter. I liked that. If I had a daughter, I would tell her the same thing.
My mama needs to get to know yours. They'd like each other.
Tallulah stepped out and looked at the field. Time to stop procrastinating. Go on, they're expecting you at the field house.
I was going to walk you to the gate first, I told her.
She shook her head. You see that line up there? It will take too long. I'm a big girl, I got this. Now go be part of your team.
I started to say something, but decided that we'd had enough time to soak in that first kiss. Because right now, I needed the second one. Closing the distance between us, I slid a hand around her waist and tugged her close before placing my mouth firmly on hers. Just enough pressure to taste her. When she opened to me, my knees felt weak, and I let my enjoyment go on a little longer. This could get me through anything. It was her that pulled back this time. Then, with a gentle shove, she whispered, "Go on." I did, glancing back just once before I headed to join the others. I was late. They'd complain, but what could they really do? It wasn't like I was playing. I was just there for support, as if they needed more. Just before I got down the hill that led to the field house, I smelled the distinct scent of weed. Pausing, I surveyed the area, and the tiny orange burn on the paper caught my attention. Stepping out of the darkness was a guy who looked somewhat familiar, but I couldn't place him. He didn't live around here, that much was obvious. His pale blonde hair brushed his shoulders, and the tight jeans he was wearing, along with the shirt that had holes in it, but you could tell it was purchased like that, screamed out of towner. He smirked at me, took one last drag, then dropped it to the gravel before stepping on it and walking off. The dude was going to just leave pot right there. Was he serious?
What the fuck?
I said, and he paused, gave me one more look.
Problem? He asked with amusement in his tone. This is Alabama, man. Pot's not fucking legal.
Not that I wasn't guilty of smoking some a time or two. The guy nodded.
Don't have to remind me where I am. This is my hell now, he said, holding out both his arms and backing away.
I was late. I had no time to argue with him about tossing weed down on the ground.
Whatever, I muttered, and left him there.
Chapter 21. God, could this place be any more cliche? Tallulah. Throughout the first half, Nash looked up at me four times. That's all I had seen. Him. I'd watched him the entire time. Studied his stance, how he interacted with the others. And hoped this wasn't as difficult as it appeared it was. Not to anyone else. He was slapping guys on the back, talking to them about plays and cheering them on. It was when he had to look back at me that I knew this was killing him. His needing my reassurance and support said more than any acting job he did on that field. The team had gone into the field house and the fans were up talking, getting snacks, and I was alone. No one really knew me. I was used to this. Being without a group of friends. What I wasn't used to was people noticing me. I felt eyes on me. I was no longer ignored. Needing to get away from the crowd and all the chattering, I went to find a quieter spot, take a breather and not feel as if I stood out, sitting there with no one around me, no one to talk to. When you reached the bottom of the stands, to your right was the concession stand and the restrooms. The herd was headed that way, filling in every available patch of grass. I went left. Fewer people, more room to move. I kept going until the back gate that led to the overflow parking lot was in my view. No one was there. I walked over to the gate to wait for the crowd to move on, and there was no one around. It was darker back here, and there was no view of the field. Not a popular place to be unless it was two teenagers making out. This place is whacked. And you sitting up there all alone is just fucking sad. What did you do? Kill the town's favorite pup? The masculine voice startled me. It wasn't familiar, nor was it from around here. There was no accent at all. Nothing. Weird.